It was written that these are the people that God did not destroy so as to keep the children of Israel on edge. So that anytime they misbehave, God will, you know, use them. And God said, no, I won't wipe them out so as to keep people in check. And I said, that there are things that you should pray you'll never be in life. Stop being, when God wanted to tempt Job, they destroyed his servants as temptation for Job. Can you imagine? Are they not human beings? Men with wives and children were killed so as to tempt another man. So I told God, please, oh, anything you like, do with me, but don't use me to tempt anybody. I must not be an instrument of temptation to another man. Let me be the one that's been tempted. You won't kill me to tempt somebody. No. I hate her. I said, God, I must be important. I must be important. David sinned and 70,000 people died. He did not die. Ha. I said, God, no, this one is not agreeable with me. My name must be David. Yes. I will please you in such a manner that when you want to punish me directly. You get my point? When I offend you, knock me on the head. I will accept it. But that I will be suffering knock on the head because somebody else in his palace. I said, that one. I'm not good. Anyway, that just by the way. What's the point I'm making? A lot of the people you are shouting about on the earth, all right? They are just there as tools, as pawns, in the hands of God to fulfill the promises and the disciplines he has for his church. Listen, I have never understood you say that. Who's the richest man in the world? I told those things don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. They have no meaning. They listed Aliko Dangote last week as the richest man in Africa. And someone said, I said, listen, I told my wife, he borrowed all this money in the last 3 years. I'm not joking. I don't use it. I'm not saying that to make him look small. No. I'm not at all. God knows. All right? In fact, my wife went to the airport. She was telling me something. I said, listen, this man, I told her who owned the airline she's about to fly. And I said, just 11 years ago, the man, nobody knew him in Nigeria. That all the money he used to make money, all these banks we gather and lend the money to him. Then they will list the business as part of his investments and call him the richest man in Nigeria. That's how this thing is done. Don't worry yourself. Take lessons from them. But most Christians are just, the ones going to say, I bought a car, amen. Tokumbo car, you know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. A sinner using America got tired and sold it to a believer, amen. I'm not abusing you. Me too, I have one. I'm just using it to explain something to you, all right? That's just by the way, all right? So that you open your eyes and know how things are supposed to work. Don't just sit down. Complacency of fools. You get what I'm saying? We discussed that last Tuesday, or 2 Tuesdays ago, if you were not around, get the tape, all right? I'm just explaining something. So they say, who's the richest man in the world? Don't let that one fool you. Don't let it confuse you. God is not in the race of who's rich or who's not rich. Are you getting my point? No. He said, how can a man who's not a believer be the richest man in the world? God said, listen, that's not important. That you may call him rich, I'm calling him poor. Everybody rich or poor, they are serving my purpose on the earth. And these people that you are calling rich, listen, they may just be temptation I put there to see who will follow me and who won't follow me. You don't know that? Listen, when Satan wanted to tempt Jesus Christ, he said, see Bill Gates, see Carlos Slim, see these people, I will give you all their money. If you just bow down and worship me, that's how it is. Your riches in the world doesn't mean anything. If Jesus had bowed to Satan, he would have been the richest bobo on the earth that time. That was the deal. Are you following the point I'm making? So I said to God, please, oh, you won't kill me to tempt somebody else. God forbid I won't die now, but if you hear anything bad happen to me, know I'm the one that sinned. That was my agreement with God. You get what I'm saying? Yes. I'm just using all of this to bring out the point. God has an agenda on this earth. Are you getting my point? And all the people shouting and shouting, they are only serving the purpose of God. I'm sure Mubarak didn't think 2 weeks before that, before the riots broke out, that he was about to leave the office. He didn't imagine it. He didn't imagine it. He did not imagine it. What am I saying? God has his agenda. Are you getting my point? And listen, in his appointed time, he has said to do some things. Like I was saying to you earlier, Solomon says, seed time, and so he said, there's a time to sow and a time to reap. I discovered that God also put some things in certain orders. You know, we're analyzing it this morning. James underneath Fabory. They value the amount of money the man collected from wherever. $3 billion. But you know the interesting part? Right now, he can't spend it. Part of this WikiLeaks revelation, he told Americans, let me put down a huge chunk of the money. We used to set up a foundation for developmental projects in Africa, in Nigeria, to be run by Americans, Britons, and some Nigerians. America said, we are not interested. You're going to jail, my guy. So that all men might fear before him. James, in his days, will bribe one man with $15 million in cash just to tell him, don't arrest me. But when God's time came, God said, oh boy, I am arresting you. He did everything finally. No, when a man starts running to Dubai and he's not a Muslim, you know there's a problem. When a Muslim runs to Saudi Arabia, we understand. When James goes to Dubai, James, not Jibril, James. What does that tell you? God's judgment. He got to Dubai so that they will let him know what they plan to do. They put all his relatives in jail in London first, including his British lawyer. All of them, first put all of them in prison. Say, boy, we are waiting for you. He got to a point, are you getting my point? That money, the money now doesn't have any value. This is just by the way. If you want to pray for bro, pray for Americans. Britons don't know how to jail people. They are nice English people. Just speak and then they leave you alone. When Americans want to jail you, they jail you for life. Bernard Madoff stole money. He's in jail for 95 years. You jail a 75-year-old man for 95 years. Is he Methuselah? Is he Methuselah? When Americans are passing jail sentence, you will laugh. Saw a movie long ago. Sentenced one guy, a drug dealer. He was in a state where they didn't do death penalty. They gave him 2 life imprisonment and a 25-year imprisonment to be served back to back. I said, don't worry, your corpse is going to jail. They first jailed the guy. When he dies, they jailed the body. When he finished decomposing, the bones will start. Americans, they know how to do it. If they don't want that guy to come out from jail, they know how to do it. They will their sentence don't run concurrently. In Britain, it runs concurrently. In America, no. They give you a 10-count charge on an offense that each one is only 4 years. Eh? You are serving 40 years in prison. They know how to do it. They tell you for sending money that doesn't belong to you, 2 years. For allowing it to arrive in a country that does not belong to you, 4 years. For taking part of it to spend in a country that does not belong to you, 3 years. For phoning to order the transaction is wire fraud. 4 years. By the time they finish, I said, oh boy, now only $1,000. So. Oh God, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And what am I trying to say? Listen, this is what happens in Nigeria. And it's, believe me, it's beginning to happen. The season now is that if you like to steal money in Nigeria, steal, no problem. But you're not carrying it anywhere. That's the season. It's divinely ordered. Yes, it's divine order. Steal all you want, but the money is not leaving these shores. And when God wanted to do it, he just called the Americans, called the Europeans. They said, don't mind these Africans. They like to steal too much. Make stealing unattractive. That's it. You can imagine, with all the billions, this man can't go anywhere. Any country you step into, they will arrest you and send you to a dangerous country. I'm telling that story to let you know about seasons. There was a season in which you took $10 billion from Nigeria. The Swiss man will welcome you, greet you very well, keep the money for you, and swear over the life of his children that he will never tell anybody that you kept money with him. You know, God said, there are people who used to tell God like that we have made a covenant with death. You can never catch us. God said, I will break your agreement with death. God went to Switzerland, kicked them like this. They said, sorry, this is their name. These are their names. Now them this. Seasons. The Bible says that times and seasons are in his hands. That's what we're dealing with. He changes kings. Look, listen. That's what is going on. You wake up one day in Nigeria, they will tell you rig election, you'll be afraid. They will say rig election, you'll be afraid. Listen, the time is coming shortly. In fact, it has begun. Now, the first level now is that you steal money in Nigeria, it stays in Nigeria. Next level, you steal it at all, you're in trouble. There are many things that God is doing. Plenty. Plenty. See, I said something to you last time, that God is great. That he created the heavens and the earth. That means he's not in the heavens, he's not in the earth. If you can create something, you are not there. His name is everlasting. His name is what? Everlasting. From everlasting, he's always been there. And at a point in everlasting, he created the heavens and the earth. And I was saying to you that there is a reason for it. I don't know the details, but there's a reason for it. One thing I know is that he wants to judge evil so that the whole of the heavens, the whole of created beings and beings that have been existing, they will know that evil is bad. There are two sides to God. There's a side in which he knows what is wrong. He knows. He will tell you this is wrong. There's a second side to God in which he will explain and demonstrate through experience that this is wrong. And you must get the point. It's what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. I believe very strongly. I'm not saying I know everything. One of the reasons why he created this current heavens and this earth is to prove that evil is bad. And for him to prove that evil is bad, he must allow evil to thrive. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. When doctors want to cure dangerous diseases, they give you a small portion of it and allow it to thrive small. Then you build up a wicked resistance against the real thing. That's the principle of vaccination. You see oral polio that they go around giving. The thing is live. The virus is alive. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what God is doing. Before he judged Nebuchadnezzar, he allowed him to reach his peak. He didn't judge Nebuchadnezzar when he was struggling. Build up. Oh yeah. The tree was great. The guy would look one day and say, wow. I don't come far. I don't try. Is this not Babylon the Great? Which I built with the strength of my might for the glory of my own majesty. Oh boy, may not hail me, I don't try. That was when God said, yes, this is the type I like. At this point, we will now cut you down. We won't cut you down when nobody will notice. You know, when God wanted to judge communism, I was reading Age of Turbulence by Alan Greenspan. They did not even know how bad things were in the communist countries. That's the people outside. They didn't know how more advanced than West Germany was. Outside, they were all making us feeling very tough, feeling very strong. Russia built up such a great arsenal of nuclear power. God was looking. Build now. Wait. They gave scholarship to one black man who was going to build the biggest white church in Europe. They did not know. Sunday Adelaja. They gave him scholarship. That's what I've told you. They said, when Muslims start universities, go there. Don't be afraid. Medicine is medicine. Whether it is taught by Anglicans, Baptists, Catholics, or Muslims. Mitochondria is mitochondria. They can shout Allahu Akbar on his name, he's mitochondria. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? If it says, Muslims are planning to come and build university, be happy. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That oil money, come and use it too. People say that, I won't use a Tesla, buy their line. Why they could give you the line at 1500 minutes? Because they have oil. Mubadala brought out oil money. Don't be angry. Bible says, strangers will build your walls. Strangers will nurse your children. Don't be afraid. You can't Islamize my son. There's a cord of the spirit that I've used to hook him to the Holy Spirit. If I send him to your school, you can't Islamize him. The imam will give his life to Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How many of you went to Catholic schools? Are you Catholics today? No, do you follow my point? Doesn't mean anything. He said, Muslims are planning to build university in Enugu. Pray for them. Give them land. It's not university. When they do engineering, look, have you ever noticed that when you make your phone call, whether it's Etisalat or MTN, they sound the same. You don't hear, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, at the background of it, unless you load it as ringtone. There are times you call Etisalat line, you know, through Etisalat, you call an MTN line, you hear, Nigeria, evil men will not rule you anymore. In the name of Jesus. Did the line cut? Because it's Etisalat. If Muslims open university in Enugu, they are teaching communication engineering, go there. Don't be afraid. What am I saying? That was how communism blossomed at its peak. One man just woke up one day and tried to regularize things a bit. And the prophecy that Kenneth Copeland gave years before came to pass. Communism was broken up to pieces overnight. Pa, 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 pa. Before the news was happening, boom, there was no trouble again. Poland, started like Tunisia, kicked out the communist regime. Kicked them out. Before you knew what was happening, that was the end of communism. They were judged at when people looking from outside thought they were at their peak. They were strong. And please listen to me. This one they practice in China is not communism. They have their own religion, which will also be judged in due season. Hey, I hope you are following what I'm saying. The whole earth must be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. It must happen. Anybody that stands as an obstruction will be judged. They will be judged. That is a matter of fact. God has his agenda. His son, Jesus Christ, is being exalted. Are you getting my point? He's being exalted. Evil is being judged. Let's leave that. Let's sit down on this again. Evil is being judged on this earth to show that evil is evil. That's why it has to blossom a bit. Are you following my point? That's why it will blossom a bit. Let it blossom a bit. Then when it has blossomed and is strong and is big, then, boom, overnight, it's gone. Why? God has to show that he did it. America can't tell you that they brought down communism. They fought and fought. The fight in Angola was a fight over communism. I hope you know. The fight in Vietnam was a fight over communism. Americans, they saw themselves as the defenders of capitalism, which is good. North Korea, that's Korea, then the Korean Peninsula. They fought and fought. Finally, what they managed to do was to divide the line, the DMZ, dividing the north from the south. Everybody tired. They tired to the fight. Communism tired to fight. What the communists were trying to do was to hit soft targets. Some people say that the assassination of let me not mention it. Some of our past leaders. It was part of the CIA versus communist fight. That's how a head of state in Nigeria just disappeared overnight. Boom, somebody just shot him and died. All kinds of gist. All the stories in Angola, it's all communism versus, free world. Then one day God said, enough. Once he said enough, Once he said enough. Once he said enough. Are you hearing me? All the outposts that were fighting, stop fighting. There was nothing to fight over again. The main point dissolved, disappeared. Communism ended. When we are finished, when God has shown to all of us, even we pastors, we need to know that money is not everything. When God has finished showing us how bad it is, then he will judge corruption in this country. And the day he will do it, you'll be surprised. All the fight over the thing. One day, we just wake up and that's it. The thing has ended. You see, if you came to Nigeria last year, between here and Lagos, you would not roger police 50 times. But now, all the policemen are saluting you. And they are wishing you a good journey. What happened? Are you getting my point? What happened is that the appointed time came. Are you getting my point? I've said all of this to bring out that issue. That God has an appointed season for everything. He has an appointed season for everything. He does. He does. I said there are two sides to it. He has his general agenda. You know, I was looking at my Bible the other time. There are times the Lord Jesus will say things like, these things must take place before this one. He said, these things, they're talking about the end of the times. These things must happen, but the end has not yet come. Then this one must happen. The angel looked at John and said, come, let me show you things that must take place. There are things that must take place. Not everything you can pray out of place. It's not everything. When judgment is going to come on Jerusalem, you know what Jesus told his people, his disciples, to pray about? He said, pray that your flight will not be on the Sabbath day and will not be during winter. But you can't pray that I won't judge Jerusalem. No, that one, you can't pray that one. You can't pray that one. God has his appointed time. He has his appointed seasons. Now, that's the first point I wanted to make. The next one I started also is to let us bring, is to let us bear in mind again that they don't depend on us. Primarily, no, they don't. What we are doing as people is to fit into divine agenda. Are you getting my point? But it's the second side I want to bring out down. In your life also, please, this is the one we're going to spend a lot of time on. In your life also, there's an appointed time. There's an appointed season. Let me define the word time again. There are two ways to look at time. Two ways. Actually, using the Greek, all right? The Greek man clearly distinguishes between time as measuring days and years and minutes and seconds and stuff like that. It distinguishes between that and measuring time as in seasons. Do you get my point? Yes, it's very clear. Time as in days and years is not what is important with God. That's why he said a day with God is like 1,000 years. That's what they call chronos in Greek. The other one is kairos, which has to do with seasons. Are you getting my point? It has to do with seasons. And just like Solomon said, there's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. The time to reap never comes before the time to sow. I hope you have noticed that. Even there's an appropriate time for everything. The time to reap never comes before the time to sow. In the same manner in your life, God has ordered his seasons. He has. He has. There's a scripture I should quickly. Let's go back to that. Revelation chapter. Sorry. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're reading. God has ordered the seasons. And Solomon was telling us from observing it that the seasons of your life, you don't bring them to pass by your own struggles. Let me add my own words. Time and chance, Solomon said, overtakes them. In my own words, what all you can do is to cooperate with the seasons of your life. I did a series on radio then titled, we still have them on CDs, Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. I think you should listen to it. Because life has seasons. It has seasons. It has seasons. What you can do is to cooperate with each season in your life. Let me quickly say something also. So many things to say quickly. Right? What I want to say quickly is this. Anytime I'm preaching, I keep on saying something. I'm talking to believers. God has planned your life as a Christian, but you can choose as an individual to walk out of God's plan. And the things I'm saying will not appear as if they are not true. Not because they are not true in themselves, but because somebody chose to walk out of God's plan. Are you getting my point? For example, there are times that God keeps people, all right, in a restrained area. They are in darkness, like he said through Isaiah. He said, but then they now start struggling. And they start saying, no, we don't like this darkness. We'll light our own candles. All right? We'll kindle our own fires. God said, if you do that, you initially get results. But at the end, this you will receive from my hands. You will lie down in torment. There was never a season planned by God for his children to end in torment. He said, but in the early stages, there are times I put them in a restricted area. But when they don't like restriction, they force themselves out of the place. Then they go initially into abundant prosperity. Are you getting my point? He said, but that way they set themselves up for an eventual end, which is called lying down in torment. Are you getting what I'm saying? We must be careful as believers. All right? That we follow the seasons of God in our life. Let's put that one in, all right, briefly. Now, let me sit on this issue of your life and God. God also has planned your life. He has planned the seasons of your life. There was something that Solomon said. Let's quickly read it. That Ecclesiastes chapter 3, from verse 9. He said, now, if everything we have said is true, that God has planned our seasons, what profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? He said, I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in his time. Now, notice this. What Solomon was saying is that this is a task God has given men to occupy themselves. Even though he has made everything to manifest in his season, he said he also has set eternity in their hearts. He said they don't fully understand this. For that reason, all right, he said, yet so that men will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning. He said, because they don't understand this, they are occupied daily. Now, listen to this. With toil. Please, let me try. Just look at me. I'll try and explain it. People don't understand. Do you follow my point? That God has set a season. Therefore, they are trying to bring forth the next season, and then they are very busy today trying to bring forth the next season. I don't know where you get what I'm saying. Now, this you have to be careful in following what I'm saying because it's so easy to misunderstand. I'm not saying Christians don't plan or they are not or they must be lazy. They should be lazy. No, I'm not saying that. I'll explain what I'm saying in a moment. Now, when a new season comes, people, I said, look, be careful when you are reading books, so not reading by God. Know what I mean by that? Your scriptures is written by God. Amen. Many other books are not written by God, even though they have good things inside them. I've read a lot of good books by good Christians, and I don't believe the thing inside. You know why? Not because the man is lying, but because the Bible says he himself does not know how. Are you getting what I'm saying? Can you remember Robert Kiyosaki? I quoted him a lot of times. Robert Kiyosaki believes so much in real estate. But over the last few years, you saw what happened to real estate in America. Do you get what I'm saying? There's no material way by which you can succeed permanently in life. There's none. Mistakes people make, they try to follow everything somebody is saying because they think that's the way he got into the season of breakthrough. As believers, God says it's not so. By faith, we understand that the seasons of his life were set. So that season was not compulsorily a product of the one we saw before it. I don't know what I get my point. That what God does is that he occupies them in each season with assignments, so that they won't understand how the next season is coming. Oh God, I pray you'll get what I'm saying. And this is what God does. In each season, he gives you an assignment to occupy you, and you must be occupied, because if you pry too much into the next season, you don't even allow it to come. So what he does is that he distracts you from focusing too much on that one, so that you don't spoil it. How does he do it? He keeps you busy. He says, occupy with this until I come.
When I come, I hand you cities. You don't fight for them. I hope you are getting what I'm saying.